In the morning, Gitmo Nation, and thank you for joining me once again for Just Getting By with Sir Craig and Chemslave. Hello, Chemslave.
In the morning, Craig.
How are you doing today?
Pretty good.
That's good. We've had a busy week in terms of production for Just Getting By, haven't we?
Oh, yeah. Really heavy.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm actually not being sarcastic. This is the third day in a row that we've called each other. This is getting out of hand.
Yes.
So we had some recording issues last week, and we needed to do our Friday show.
On Friday,
exactly. Yeah. For those of you that don't know, we record Monday, Wednesday, and Friday shows all on the previous Sunday. So that's to help us accommodate our work and school schedules. But we've had some recording issues. So on Friday we did Friday's show, and then Saturday we experimented with some other ways of recording because we've not been having the greatest luck recording. And so today we are doing shows, and I am recording on a brand new version of Skype. I'm psyched.
How new is it, Craig?
It is so brand spanking new. The old version I had was like version 5.0.18.000, some shit like that. You can tell that they're owned by Microsoft already because the version number goes out until like the thousandth place. It's unnecessary. It's terrible. But so that was what I was using yesterday, and today I am using the brand spanking new model of Skype 2.8.
Wow, that's new.
Oh, it's brand new. It's brand new. It's about 5 years old, actually. No, it's not five. It's about 2 years old, I guess. You know, Skype really screwed the pooch when they released Skype 5. It's terrible. Just terrible. And I didn't use Skype much before then, so I didn't know how bad it was until I wanted to experiment and, input and output audio to different places. And you can't do that in the new Skype. You don't have access to input and output audio. You have to go to the old Skype for that. It's terrible. So anyway, that's kind of the nuts and bolts of what's going on. So hopefully we will have no more issues today. So Chemslave, we've got some interesting stories lined up for the audience today, don't we?
Yeah, I guess. Pretty interesting.
Well, I thought we would lead off with an opinion piece by a woman named Maureen Dowd. Do you know anything about Maureen Dowd, Andrew?
Other than she sort of looks milfy, no.
Oh my god. I'm sitting here trying to pretend you didn't say that.
Why is that?
She is like the definition of a steel vagina. It's like her purpose in life to go around violently grabbing men's testicles and putting them into vices. But that vice is her opinion column.
Wow. But that's harsh.
Yeah, well, it's also true. I mean, this woman, she is terrible. 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 But she's also, you know, I don't know what's going on with her, because most people you can see, if they have an agenda, if they have an ideology, if they have somebody that they're blowing all the time, that they need to, you know, prop up. But Maureen Dowd it doesn't fit a specific mold. She is a liberal opinion columnist for the New York Times. She is very famous for her vitriolic screeds against people. But the funny thing is that those people are not always Republicans. She was one of the most vicious critics of Bill Clinton during the Monica Lewinsky scandal, for instance.
Not shocking.
Why do you say that?
The whole sex scandal.
Yeah, well,
I would sort of foresee a woman taking a negative view on that topic.
Well, there are many women that did not. Bill Clinton, when he left office, was the most popular he ever was with the women of America. Paradoxically enough. And you would think that many of these hack journalists would be willing to overlook his indiscretions in order to prop up his political ambitions. But Maureen Dowd did not do that. She ripped him apart in column after column after column in the New York Times. She became a very big problem for the Clinton White House. But she is, at heart, a liberal columnist. And when Bush came into office, he knew no greater dissenting voice than Maureen Dowd. And this is really where I first started to read her columns, because she would say some really quite terrible things about George W. Bush and his administration. But now with Obama in office, and you know, she started out okay with him. She was never like doing handstands over him, but she wrote columns giving him the benefit of the doubt and seeing how he would go. But today she wrote an op-ed column called "One and Done" with a question mark. It's a question. Is this going to be one term and he's over? One and done? So this is a relatively long article. And we don't normally reference the articles themselves, but I think this is a very, very important column. And she goes through talking about the feeling of hope that Obama engendered in the nation in 2007 and 2008 after from her point of view, the bad years of George W. Bush. But she is really, really down on President Obama now. It's quite amazing. She portrays Obama as caving into the Republicans at every turn. She calls him an elitist who tries to come down from his mountain to read off a teleprompter and then scurries back up. It's quite amazing. And
don't be offending the TOTUS, Craig.
Exactly. You know what? On a little side note, this always really pissed me off when people said about what a great public speaker Obama is. He sucks at public speaking. My dog is a better public speaker than Barack Obama. The thing is, Barack Obama is a brilliant newscaster. By which I mean he is a brilliant teleprompter reader. He can read off a teleprompter like no one's business. But when it comes to speaking from the heart, when it comes to going before an audience and just talking, he couldn't do it if his life depended on it. And the reason is because he doesn't believe any of the shit that's on that teleprompter. He doesn't write that. He probably doesn't even approve that. Somebody puts that in front of him and he reads it. His views are much more different. And we won't get into what he really thinks. I don't know what he really thinks, for one thing. I've got my guesses, but that's for another issue. But anyway, yes. So she criticizes the teleprompter. She criticizes the way he seems to be caving into Republicans all the time, which I would take issue with, by the way. She says this about Obama and his White House. She says, quote, "The White House team is flailing. They are reacting, regrouping, retrenching. It's repugnant. After pushing and shoving and caving to get on to TV, the president's advisors immediately began warning that the long-yearned-for job speech, the one that, by the way, is going to be coming up this Wednesday now, the long-yearned-for jobs speech wasn't going to be that awe-inspiring quote, this is a quote in the article, quote, the issue isn't the size or the newness of the ideas, unquote, one advisor said. It's quote, less the substance than how he says it, whether he seizes the moment, unquote. These people are downplaying his speech. I mean, he doesn't have an ounce of that inspirational hope that he had in 2007 and 2008, because now he has to put ideas on the table. Now he has to, you know, walk up, be a man, and, you know, put his thoughts to paper and send those thoughts up to Congress to get them passed. And he doesn't have any ideas. He only has the soaring rhetoric that makes him seem stale, out of touch, and elitist. Maureen Dowd sees that, and she is among the most liberal people in the country. Can you just imagine, over the next year, what's going to happen to this presidency once more people other than her in the liberal, you know, in the liberal world start to see that? I think this is the beginning of a steep decline in Obama's political fortunes. What do you think?
I agree with you on that one. Unless he has something he could rally on in the next year or two, something to boost his ratings. I don't foresee much hope. Well, other than if the Republican candidate for presidential candidate is going to be even worse than him, and then it's going to be a battle between a douche and a turd, like the whole old South Park episode from like 2000. What is it, like 8 or whenever the was like, or later even.
I'm not familiar with that.
When was the Kerry Bush elections?
2004.
2004. So yeah. Around 2004, South Park made an episode about this South Park school like holding like a vote on which should be their new mascot, a douche or a turd. And it was like the whole moral of the thing is all elections are a choice between a douche and a turd.
That's basically true.
Yes.
That is basically true. Yep. That's sad, but it's also true. Now, there are some people in the Republican field that might not be as bad as others. Now, obviously, those people who listen to No Agenda probably like Ron Paul. I do too. I like Ron Paul a lot in terms of domestic policy. But I personally have a more traditionally conservative foreign policy view. I think America needs to be an assertive, important presence in the world community. I think it's America's place to be the preeminent nation in the world, and I think it's for the benefit of all people to have America in this preeminent position. Whereas Ron Paul has a more isolationist foreign policy, whereby he wants America to take all of its troops, put them in America, and let the world go about its business. That sounds good on paper, but I think that's a tad bit idealistic. But that being said, if I could get somebody with Ron Paul's domestic policy and a more traditional conservative foreign policy, I'd be golden. But that candidate does not exist. So I'm still searching. I don't know who I'm going to vote for. I will not vote for Rick Perry. I will write in my own name on the ballot before I vote for Rick Perry. I'm not thrilled with the Republican field actually right now. But almost anybody would be better than Obama, except for Rick Perry and Michelle Bachmann and Sarah Palin.
Ugh, don't even speak of that woman's name.
And I'm actually going through quite a this now. Yeah, yes. I'm getting depressed.
So you're voting for Obama next year?
No. No. Jesus, I would crawl over broken glass and fiery pits to vote against him. I hope I can vote for a Republican. That's all. Anyway, all right. So, do you have anything to add about the Maureen Dowd column? I recommend everybody go to the New York Times website, or if you have the paper, go to the opinion section and read this column because it is insightful.
I have no comments on One and Done.
Okay, well then, why don't we move on to the second story of the day?
Well, as this is the Monday episode, Labor Day,
yes.
I think I'd have a good good prognosis for you for labor.
Really?
Yes. The feds, sometime not too long ago, raided Gibson guitars to because they saw that they're getting some wood from India, and they're interpreting Indian law to see that this wood is unfinished sawn wood, and you're only supposed to get already pretty worked on wood, export should be veneered wood, which has already been worked on. So they're They seized wood, and they're causing troubles for Gibson USA. And so the U.S. federal government is telling us that there would be no problem for Gibson to use this wood if the wood was made with finished using foreign labor. This is despicable.
All right, so what you're saying is, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Indian law states that it is illegal to export unfinished wood for processing in another country, but it is acceptable if Indian workers are, finishing up the wood to then sell processed veneer to foreign companies, right?
Yes, but the Gibson maintains that they are complying with that law. That's some little loophole somewhere that's allowing them to use the wood.
Yeah, what they're saying is they're using what they're calling veneer, but it's a wood product that is 2/3 complete. That they're only adding the finishing touches in America.
Yes,
and they're using that as saying, well, this is, 2/3 of the way there at least. This is basically a veneer, as according to Indian law. So that's what they're saying. And the White House, I shouldn't say the White House, but the, who's actually doing the raiding? Who's doing the raiding? What's the agency doing the raiding? Is this the feds, but... It wouldn't be
the Justice Department.
Yeah. Oh, those bastards. Oh God, I hate Eric Holder. Excuse me. All right. Yeah, so the Justice Department under this president, the president who supposedly said he was going to bring jobs back to America, is saying to one of the oldest and most recognizable American brands that you are going to be penalized for using American labor. And we, the federal government, are going to say to you that you are not following not our laws, but Indian laws. And we will interpret Indian law on their behalf to you. And you can go fuck yourself.
Yes. This is not really shocking to me. Because after I started seeing, hearing about Vivek Kundra, I was like, that's an Indian-sounding name. So how many Indians are actually working for the Obama administration? So I typed in Indians Obama administration. I came up onto a website called Hindustan Times. And this is from September 19, 2009. So some of these people might not be working there. I haven't sat down to research if they're still working for Obama. So Arun Mujumdar, Director of Advanced Research Projects Agency, Vivek Kundra, Farah Pandith, Richard Verma, Vinay Thummalapalli, Anish Chopra, Rajiv Shah, Anju Raghava, Rajan Anand, Ro Khanna, Preet Brahara, and Sabash Iyer. So I have a small theory that we're kowtowing to the Indian government because so many Indian Americans are working in the Obama administration and they're sort of working for their people.
Well, I don't know. You might be on to something. I definitely think you might be on to something. But also, quite frankly, we've always had a lot of Indians in government. And it's just a fact of life. There's a lot of Indian people that come over to the United States to get education, and they stay here, or they become very successful in their trade. And it's not uncommon to see them appointed to relatively high places in government. And I don't know if that's a phenomena that you can attribute just to the Obama administration.
Well, I'm not attributing it just to them, but it's just like, look, there's so many people working for the government right now. There seems to be some type of weird thing going on.
You may be right, but I am more interested in just what the thought process behind this and the culture of this administration that allows this to even go on in the first place. That they think that it's appropriate to go to a small business, a small private business, and dictate to them somebody else's laws is really very, very unusual and very disturbing. If Gibson was breaking Indian laws, why doesn't India file charges against them? Why don't they in India petition the government? Or if they're able to file charges directly, if Gibson has some Indian branch or something. It seems to me that this is more a reflection of the Obama administration's contempt for small business. They have been among the most anti-small business administrations in the history of this country. With the various legislative regulations like Obamacare and the bank and finance bill passed in 2009, all of these extra regulations and, you know, paperwork and fees, red tape, this administration has made being a small business in America more onerous than at almost any other time in this nation's history. And they have shown a contempt for small business, and I think this is a perfect example of it. They love when businesses apply for federal grants and get federal loans and are basically owned by the federal government. But they hate it when there is a successful small business that is not in the government's pocket. And they go after them, and this is an example of it.
Oh, I have something to add to that.
All right.
One of this is a quote from another article that I just found because I saw this somewhere else. One of Gibson's leading competitors is C.F. Martin & Company. The CEO, Chris Martin IV, is a long-time Democratic supporter with $35,000 in contributions to Democratic candidates in the DNC over the past couple of election cycles. So it might be that, and they use the same wood for their guitars. So, or at least for several of their guitars.
Yeah, that's not a conflict of interest, is it?
No.
No. Yeah, that's sickening. That really is. That is. By the way, that was some excellent detective work. Very, very good. I like that.
But Thank you.
Yeah, props. If I had, if we had jingles on this show, you would definitely get one for that. But yeah, that is just the perfect way to underscore the corruption that is rampant in all administrations, in both Republican and Democrat parties. But in this case, it's a Democrat. So we gotta, you know, lay it on his feet. And this really makes me fear for the future of small business in this country. We have had policies that over the past 50 years have squeezed out not only small businesses, but big businesses, and moved manufacturing to India and China, and, you know, moved tech support to India and China, and, you know, so on and so forth. We have seen a mass exodus in this country in terms of business. And it's because of policies that make it more difficult to have a competitive job market in the world economy. And this is, as I keep saying, this is just another example. And it's sad.
It is.
Gibson Guitar is an American icon. And to have it being attacked in this way is really unfortunate. So hopefully there is a good result from this. Hopefully the Obama administration is told to go fuck themselves. The case hasn't been decided yet. So there is still hope. Not a whole lot of hope. but in the end, the Obama administration might force this company to use Indian labor at the expense of American jobs. And that, of course, is the goal of any administration, isn't it?
Yes. Move all the jobs over there so we don't have to worry about workers.
Yep. All right, so do you have anything else?
No, not in the moment now.
Neither do I. So I think now is a good time to maybe wrap it up a little bit. And we will talk to you again on Wednesday. But if you liked this show, if you like any of the shows on the No Agenda stream, or even if you just like No Agenda itself and you're listening to this to be masochistic or something, you know, who knows, please donate to John and Adam, because they really need your donations, especially around this time, because they're not getting any. So go to Dvorak.org/NA. That is Dvorak.org/NA or noagendanation.com to find links to donate. And if you have any feedback or suggestions, please email us from the email address feedback@justgettingbypodcast.com. That is feedback@justgettingbypodcast.com. All right, Chemslave, I will talk to you again on Wednesday.
Adios, mofos.